You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The world's most famous arena demanded a show, and boy, did reigning MVP James Harden give them one. On that note, welcome in to a victorious post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Wednesday evening, the Rockets survive barely with a 114-110 win over the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. The Rockets improving to 27-20, the Knicks falling to 10-36. The Rockets led by 61 from James Harden, 17 of 38 from the field, 22 of 25 from the foul line, also had 15 rebounds, 5 steals, 4 assists. There were a lot of problems for the Rockets in this game, starting with the fact that they did not have either Chris Paul or Clint Capella. The Rockets also mixing in a brand new player as their starting center in Kenneth Faried. Some late lapses from PJ Tucker that made no sense whatsoever. Defensively, they seemed lethargic out of the jump, allowing the Knicks to score 63 in the first half, which put them behind the eight ball early on, so that even when the Rockets went on a big push in the third quarter, winning it 30-15 and ultimately going up by double figures early in the fourth, they had expended a lot of energy, and it felt like the Rockets, because they had had such a sustained run of good play, should have been up by 20. Instead, they're only up by about 10 or 12, and that ultimately made it close enough to where once the Knicks hit a few shots and got those baffling late lapses from PJ Tucker, that this thing went down to the wire. So as we move our way through the 3 points recap, of course we'll talk about the things that went wrong, because the Rockets are a much better team than the Knicks than just 4 points. It should not have been this close. We'll also give some credit to Eric Gordon, who for a second time in 3 games hit some ginormous shots down the stretch. Also had the signature steal when the Knicks got the ball back, down 2 with 9 seconds left. That was after Gordon hit the 3 on one end, then poked it out, leading to a James Harden fast break dunk, which put the game away and gave him 61, the total which set a new Rockets franchise record, tied the all-time record for a visitor at Madison Square Garden, and set the new high for points in any NBA game by one player this season. For some perspective on the 61 that Harden scored and why it was so ridiculous, let's compare it to the guy he tied for the all-time record by a visitor at Madison Square Garden with 61, that being Kobe Bryant of the Lakers. Harden's 61 tonight, the stat courtesy of my friend Don Dugan on Twitter, 61 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 steals. Kobe, when he had 61 points, 0 rebounds, 3 assists, 0 steals, 1 block. Now, both players were plus 19, and of course it reflects the fact that the only reason this game was close was the minus 15 the Rockets were when James Harden did not play. They needed every bit of his contributions tonight over the 40 minutes that he unfortunately had to play. But for James Harden to give you that much on the offensive end as a scorer and still be able to contribute defensively is astounding. That's why it's laughable when anyone suggests that he's a volume scorer. For starters, the only reason Harden's assist totals are down are because without Chris Paul, without Clint Capella, he doesn't have his usual supporting cast to pass to or to draw attention. He's getting some of that back with Eric Gordon, who made them pay, the Knicks that is, in the final 12 seconds or so of Wednesday night's win. But to take on that workload on offense, scoring 60+, there were times that he looked tired, at one point even appeared to roll an ankle and shrug that off as well, and then have 15 rebounds. The Rockets knew going in there was no Clint Capella. He's out for another 10 or 11 games, basically until the All-Star break. There's no Nene, who was out resting. He's 36 years old. The tallest active player on the Rockets roster was Kenneth Faried, their new starting center, who's 6'8". They needed help on the glass. Harden had 15 big rebounds, including 12 in the first half. I mentioned the Rockets being down by 13. Honestly, the way they came out as a team collectively, their rotations, I think also integrating Faried, who hasn't had much practice time with the team. There's a little bit of uncertainty as to where he fits in. Also, James Ennis, having missed a ton of time, is still trying to see where he fits. Now, kudos to Ennis, who did finish the game with the Rockets in a small ball lineup. I thought this was a big confidence game for him. But the Rockets, if not for Harden having 12 boards in the first half, I believe 9 in the first quarter, they might have been buried, even against a bad Knicks team. Look, when you have a young team, which the Knicks are, prioritizing youth, playing at home, and they get a jazzed environment, which the MVP of the league on a historic stretch at Madison Square Garden, that's what it's going to be. It's a great fan base. It's young players who aren't demoralized. They're playing for their futures at home. If they see the ball go through the net, that's the kind of perfect storm scenario where in any one game, they can be better than their record. So is it the Rockets' fault that they were down by 13? Yes. But at the same time, sometimes you just have to deal with the circumstances, the hand that you're dealt. And that's what James Harden did such a great job of throughout this game, is helping the Rockets bounce back off the mat early in the game. The 12 rebounds in the first half when they had no rebounding presence on the interior, not much size. That kept the Rockets in striking distance, got them back to within 5 at the break. He also had 5 steals, including a huge sequence in the middle of the fourth quarter when the Knicks were about to tie the game. There was a transition sequence when they were down 2, and Harden got a clean poke out, leading to a 3 in transition for Eric Gordon at the other end, turned what should have been a tie game into a 5-point Rockets lead. And ultimately, they needed all of those to survive. So to take on the workload of scoring 61, and by the way, he only hit 5 of 20 from 3. That's well below his normal percentage. You do not see James Harden shoot 25% from behind the arc all that often. And yet to score 61 points in spite of that is just simply staggering. He found ways to get to the basket. The Knicks, a very young team, a lot of length. You could see that confused him at times. I think clearly he scored 36 in the first half. There were some fatigue issues. But when the Rockets needed him, be it offense or defense, he stepped up. And this is the kind of game where it was ugly. It should never have been this close. But the reality is that if the Rockets had lost this, this would have been almost as bad as the Nets game, perhaps even worse than a week ago. Because at least the Nets game, they hit some ridiculous shots, and they're a winning team at the moment, at least. You have to give them some credit. The Knicks in this game, they have a horrible record. The Rockets were up double digits in the fourth quarter. They were up by 6 with under a minute and a half to go. If they had lost another game like that in a span of 1 week, it would have been crushing. And that crowd, when the Knicks went on that 7-0 run to take the lead, they were all over the place. It was loud. It felt like a playoff game. And of course, any win feels like that to those fans. But regardless of how unlikely it may be, sometimes over the course of 48 minutes, you're going to find yourself in which the situation is more daunting than the opponent. And that's what the Rockets face tonight. I can't begin to tell you the pressure that they face, knowing that there's no immediate reinforcements, at least from Clint Capella. Now, hopefully they'll get Chris Paul back Friday or Sunday, but there's no immediate reinforcements on the way, at least in terms of their big problems. Who knows when the Daniel House contract situation is going to get resolved. The trade deadline isn't for a couple more weeks. So really, until after the All-Star break, they're not going to be whole again. So the Rockets, if they had lost this game with Toronto looming on Friday, it would have been a really bad loss. You better believe that when they went down, they understood that when they looked at one another, and to find a way to dig deep and get that win, absolutely ginormous. And I think Harden's presence has a lot to do with that, because it's not just the fact that he's out there as a scorer. When you see your MVP putting up 60-plus points on offense while getting 15 boards, 5 steals, it's a motto of whatever it takes. Just get the win. And fortunately for the Rockets, that's what they got. It certainly was not pretty, but at this point for the Rockets, they're not going to be themselves again until they get Clint Capella back. Now, hopefully the return of CP3 in the next game or two will help it some, but realistically, without the combination of Capella's presence as a role man on offense, you can replace that a little bit with Kenneth Faried, but you certainly can't replace his defensive presence as a rebounder, a shot blocker, a presence near the rim. You're not going to be yourself until the other side of the All-Star break when Capella returns. That's why, in my opinion, he's the second most indispensable piece on this team. So basically, you're looking at 15 games without Clint. Well, now, you're 3-2 through the first 5 games of that. I know it hasn't always been pretty. The Laker game, you're down 21. This Knicks game, you're down 13. But you got wins. And to some extent, if you want to what-if the Brooklyn game that you threw away, well, now you've gotten 2 games, the Knicks and the Lakers, that easily could have gone the other direction. So the Rockets, they have their issues. But I think expecting this team, would you like them to be better than they showed tonight? Yes. I certainly don't think the Rockets will be happy with this performance. But at the same time, from a big picture perspective, it's not like anything they can show you right now is going to mean all that much at the end of the day. What you are trying to do is simply survive through this stretch. Also, keep in mind, as far as mileage, guys like James Harden, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, you are pretty close to the All-Star break, and they'll get close to a full week off. So hopefully that will help them recharge. But at this point, you've got 15 games until the All-Star break. Well, you had. Now you have 10 games left without Clint Capella. All you're trying to do is scrap and claw to about 7 or 8 of those and to stay in striking distance. It's entirely too early to say mission accomplished, especially after a narrow win over the Knicks. But at 27-20 in the 5 spot in the Western Conference by a couple of games in the loss column and tied in the loss column with the Trailblazers for the number 4 spot, when you consider that mark, the injuries to Chris Paul and Clint Capella, the seemingly imminent return of CP3, and the fact that no matter how ugly it's been at times, you're 3-2 through this stretch without Clint Capella. That's a third of the way through your sample. I think you have to take it. There's a lot of things they have to clean up. We'll talk about it more as we move our way through tonight's show. But for now, it feels weird to say, but that's actually a feel-good win. And you should start by thanking James Harden with his record-setting 61 points at legendary Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. Now, as we continue our 3 points recap of Wednesday's scintillating 114-110 Rockets victory at Madison Square Garden, perhaps it should have been that close, but ultimately the Rockets, down by a point in the final minute, found a way to get 7 points in the last 30 seconds of the game. Down one, Harden drew a foul near the half-court line with 30 seconds, just a dumb foul by the Knicks with Rockets in the bonus. Harden went to the line, made both of those. Then after Alonzo Trier just broke P.J. Tucker's ankles, got to the rim for a layup that put the Knicks back in front, the Rockets came down. Harden effectively got double. He set the screen for Eric Gordon. Then both guys stuck with James Harden. Well, Eric Gordon, seeing an open look, calmly buried it. No doubt, swished, and for the second time in 3 games, he was the guy with the most impactful shot. Because Saturday, if he doesn't hit that shot with 2 seconds left and the Rockets were down by 3 against the Lakers, you lose. It's that simple. Tonight, I don't know if the stakes were quite that high. If he had missed, the Rockets could have fouled and gotten it down 1, 2, or 3 points one more time. But fact is, it was clearly the most impactful, swinging from a 1-point deficit to a 2-point lead with 12 seconds left. Then, from there, the Rockets forced an inbound to the big man at half court. Harden got close. Gordon found a way to actually step in, tip it loose, and then Harden retrieved the loose ball, went in and dunked it. That gave him 61, which is the new Rockets franchise record. But ultimately, it was a signature performance for Eric as well, who not only hit the big three as he did on Saturday against the Lakers, but then had the crucial steal as well, one of 2 he had in the game. Overall, Eric, 20 points, 8 of 13 from the field, and 3 of 5 from behind the arc. And I mentioned after Saturday's game, the big win that the Rockets had over the Lakers, in which they overcame that 21-point deficit. Even though Eric Gordon for the season is well below his usual levels of efficiency, shooting around 38.5% from the field, close to 32% from three, that's not what you would expect over his NBA career, and certainly not his time with the Rockets, this now his third season. But the reason they haven't panicked, for starters, he's had an injury that he's had to work through. He left the Philadelphia game a little bit early again with that bone bruise in his knee that it's just an issue of pain tolerance, but doesn't mean it's any easier to go out there and execute on an NBA floor against NBA-caliber athletes night after night. But one reason why I think the Rockets are patient with him and not overreacting to the data, even though we're over half of the way through the season, is that there's a certain trust factor. There's a bond, especially with James Harden. And I would argue that James would look at Eric Gordon as perhaps the most stable teammate he's had over now his 6.5 seasons in Houston. Because even if you want to look at Dwight Howard and Chris Paul, who at their peaks are clearly better basketball players than Eric Gordon, okay, well, Dwight had one good season, then he missed 41 games his second year with an injury, then his third year his performance dropped. Ultimately, he left. That was a dreadful 41-41 year. Chris Paul missed about 25 games last season, left early in the playoffs, and now he's missed about half of this season with injuries. So when it comes to a guy that James Harden can look at and count on the basketball court, especially in clutch moments and with the space James needs to operate offensively, a guy who can actually draw some attention from the opposing defense, or if the defense is just refusing to leave James, at least make a 3 when James is doubled, which happened in the last 12 seconds, and make them pay, that's where Eric Gordon is especially invaluable. And for all of Gordon's flaws, he's been very streaky, and some of it comes because he's a bit of a volume shooter at this point in his career, but he has no fear of the moment. And for a team like this that has such of a spotlight on it, the MVP of the league, that's a crucial characteristic to have. Other than Chris Paul's injury, when you think back to last year's Western Conference Finals, the games that should have swung the series, Game 4 and Game 5, the first in Oakland, the second in Houston, both came down to the wire and were basically slogfest, the Rockets dictating the pace and just needed someone to step up and make a couple of huge shots late in the game. Both of those games, it was Eric Gordon that had the most impactful shot, including in Game 5, the three that put them up by 4 with a minute left that ultimately should have shot the door, and then he had the closing free throws in the final seconds that actually put it away in the 4-point Rockets win, made it a 2-possession ball game. I'm certainly not going to compare Saturday's shot against the Lakers or Wednesday's go-ahead 3 at Madison Square Garden to a shot against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. But what I will say is that it reminds you that he is not afraid of the moment. And so beyond his usual qualities, he's a nice secondary playmaker. He should be able to shoot the ball. Again, I know for the season his numbers are below what they should be, but he was 3-5 from behind the arc on Wednesday night in New York. But for a team that faces so much scrutiny, so much doubt, that for whatever reason is a bit of a lightning rod for criticism around the league, the national media, we all know the storylines, to have a guy who can walk into any gym, even if they're booing, even if they hate you, even if it is raucous because they can't wait to knock you out, to have a guy that can stick shots like that, that embraces the moment, that isn't fazed, that's not easy because there are a lot of players that would get rattled by the moment. Now, I don't know if P.J. Tucker was. I think some of that could be randomness or fatigue because in the past, P.J. Tucker has been one of those guys. So I'm not going to overreact to one game in his particular case. We'll talk about that more in a second. But with Eric Gordon, beyond just 20 points, 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3, to see him make the plays he did first on offense, then on defense in the final 15 seconds of that game, it's a reminder that while his season as a whole probably isn't where you want it to be, he still gives you a certain intangible dynamic. There's a trust factor that when you're in a really big game, he's a foxhole guy. He's someone that you want on your side because he has that killer instinct. Even if he's 2 of 10 on the night, he's going to keep firing and he believes the next one is going to be his. And it doesn't matter where he's shooting. It doesn't matter who the opponent is, what the stakes are. He trusts himself. He trusts his jump shot. That doesn't make him a perfect player. He's far from it. But on a Rockets team looking for help beyond James Harden, it's something that they need, especially late in games, where as we get closer to the playoffs and especially in the postseason, if Harden continues anything close to this historic stretch, teams will sell out. They will make anybody other than James Harden beat them. Hopefully Chris Paul will help with that. I don't know that Clint Capela will help that much because he's not really a shot creator. So really, after Harden, you're hoping for the healthy return of Chris Paul, and then after that, you're hoping for more of Eric Gordon, like we've seen in 2 of the last 3 nights. He helped you win Saturday against the Lakers with 30 big points and then 20 in Madison Square Garden, leading the Rockets to that 114-110 come-from-behind win on Wednesday night. Now, as we close out Wednesday's program, let's turn to some of the lowlights, because we spent a lot of time glowing over James Harden, Eric Gordon, positivity over, well, Harden. It's a record-setting 61 points, franchise record for the Rockets, ties the all-time NBA record for a visitor at Madison Square Garden. He's now scored 40-plus in 11 of his past 15 games, which is just staggering, and he's averaging above 40, I believe, over the last 25 games, which is well over a quarter of a season sample. This is absurd, but to some extent, we've become accustomed to seeing it from James Harden. And the unfortunate part, he had to play 40 minutes because despite playing that well and delivering on defense with 15 points, 5 steals, and getting some clutch shots from Eric Gordon, the Rockets still had to hang on for dear life because of how the Knicks ultimately, well, they scored 63 points in the first half, which gave them a lead as large as 13, and then refused to go away late, clowning P.J. Tucker on multiple occasions in the last minute 20 of the game, and ultimately almost stole a game that on paper should have clearly been the Rockets, even without Chris Paul and Clint Capela. So as far as what went wrong, I know it's easy to focus on what happened late. Really, every minute counts the same, but when you consider that this game was all but wrapped up, we have to talk about what happened with P.J. Tucker. 39 minutes, 1 of 5 from the field. He was actually plus 13 in the plus minus, which other than Harden at plus 19 was the best on the Rockets team. But his mistakes in the final minute 10 were baffling. First, with the Rockets up by 6. He fouled Trier on a 3, which sent the line for 3, made all of those, cut it to a 1-possession game. Should not have left his feet that well. Now, Trier played very well, 31 points, 10 rebounds. He's one of those classic young players who, if things get going on a given night and the crowd gets behind him, can make the Knicks into much more than their 10-36 record would indicate that they are. But even with all that, it's the kind of mental mistake that if you're a veteran, if you're P.J. Tucker, and you have a 6-point lead with barely over a minute to go, the worst thing that you can do is give them 3 easy shots at the line. You want to force them inside the arc, and if they want to take a contested 3, you can do that, but you can't leave your feet leaning into them in that particular situation. That was bad enough. Then after making all 3 free throws, Eric Gordon tried to quickly inbound the ball. Tucker, I guess, misunderstood that Gordon had gone out of bounds, but he did it very quickly. I think wanted to make sure that they avoided a situation where perhaps they couldn't inbound the ball because the defense was set. Eric basically stepped 1 foot out of bounds, saw PJ right underneath the basket, and Tucker's seemingly misunderstanding if the ball was live, stared at the ball for several seconds, then one of the Knicks grabbed it, put the ball in the bucket for a layup, and all of a sudden it was a 1-point game. And before you knew it, James Ennis missed a corner 3, the Knicks went down and scored, and a game that the Rockets led by 6 with barely over a minute 10 left somehow was a 1-point Knicks lead, a 7-0 run in about 30 seconds. And if not for James Harden and Eric Gordon having the wherewithal to somehow absorb that punch and on the spur of the moment not get rattled and turn the tide, this would have been a devastating loss, perhaps even worse than the one that happened in Brooklyn. As far as with PJ, I tend to think a lot of it's randomness. If anything, I think you could say there's a fatigue component. Also, I didn't mention, after Harden hit the 2 free throws, put them up 1, got crossed up, basically sent to the floor by Trier on a drive, which put the Knicks back up 1 before Eric Gordon hit the big 3 with 12 seconds left, put the Rockets up 2 and put them in front to stay in the 114-110 win. So it was basically 2.5 possessions, 2 full possessions defensively, and then the whatever happened, you want to call that, on the inbounds play. So we'll say 2.5 possessions. He also missed a minute or so before that, a corner 3 that was wide open that could have put the game away. So it was not a good close. Tucker just 1-5 shooting from the night. I tend to think there's a couple of things going on beyond just the sheer obvious statement that games are random and everybody has mistakes. I think for starters, role players tend to play better at home. And so when you look at a team that with 2 of its big 3, Chris Paul and Clint Capella out, and the only guy outside of those 3, those 2 plus James Harden, that's even close to All-Star status at some point in their careers would be Eric Gordon. The other guys, generally speaking, when it comes to confidence on their jump shots, the way they're feeling about the whistles, how the other team plays, it's a combination of a lot of things, but generally role players have more success at home. So a lot of those guys got going on Saturday against the Lakers, a much more talented team than the current Knicks. Wednesday in Madison Square Garden, I think that could have played a role. And it's not as if PJ was the only Rocket that struggled tonight. We're talking about him because he ended the game poorly. But Austin Rivers, 4 points in 34 minutes, just 2 of 7 shooting. Gerald Green off the bench, 2 of 8, 1 of 5 from 3. James Ennis was 1 of 4 from 3, although I actually thought Ennis played pretty well in the fourth quarter. Rockets actually running a tuck wagon lineup rather than Fareed because he's so new to end the game with PJ Tucker at the center spot and James Ennis at the 4. So I think some of whatever happened with PJ could be chalked up to the role players at home versus role players on the road dynamics. Same with a lot of other Rockets. And the other thing, too, look, we say it every night, and so the storyline gets old, but mileage is a factor. He played 39 minutes tonight. He's 33 years old. He's a 6'6" power forward who occasionally has to play center as well. And with the Rockets' injuries up front, now Nene resting, Clint Capella out, so many pieces in and out all season long. You look at his minutes totals, he's averaging 36 a night in January, and he's played 42, 42, and 39 in 3 of the last 4 games. His minutes totals by month, they dipped them a little bit to 34.5, which is the lowest in December, and suddenly it rose back up to 36 a game, now more than that, through almost the entirety of January. So as far as what went wrong with PJ, I'm sure he'll look at the film and he'll know that he made mistakes. He'll be the first guy to accept responsibility. But beyond that, the best thing the Rockets can do is get healthy. Clint Capella getting back will eliminate, not entirely, but a lot of the time that you're having to play PJ Tucker at the center spot. Chris Paul coming back will give you opportunities to play more 4-guard lineups or 3 guards plus one of your wings, a Gerald Green, James Ennis type at the 4. So even though there's not a direct position replacement coming to take some of PJ's minutes, just anybody's will help them. And honestly, I think that fits with the rest of the team as well, because as far as why this game was close, besides what happened to PJ Tucker in the last 70 seconds or so, The Rockets just did not, from the jump, take the game as seriously as they should have, giving up 63 points in the first half of the game, going down by as much as 13. The communication was poor. Part of it, integrating Kenneth Faried, who's had very little practice time, just his second game. Faried offensively was nice, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 5 of 11 shooting in 26 minutes. Also contributed defensively with his hustle, 3 steals, 3 blocks. He at times looked a little out of position, and I think that's to be expected. I don't think it's anything deficient in his game other than his size. 6'8", he's short for a center, we understand that. But in terms of issues that he's had, and some of them aren't just directly with Kenneth. Some of it is his teammates not necessarily anticipating what he's thinking on a given possession. But those trust bonds are a little bit weaker. They're also working in James Ennis, who had to play 27 minutes. He's missed at least half of this season, or close to it, it feels like, with the hamstring injuries. So between all those issues, there's not the most trust for the Rockets right now. They basically ran an 8-man rotation. One of those 8 guys, Gary Clark, played just 9 minutes, so we may as well call it a 7.5-man rotation. So legs are tired. I don't think the Rockets thought they'd go in and roll the Knicks by 30 by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think it was that. I think the Rockets are aware of their own limitations. I don't know that it's that they underestimated the opponent. I think it's more that it was the perfect storm. The Knicks got rolling. They're a young team with talented players. Some of them got going. You mentioned Trier's 31-10. But overall, I think it's just a combination of tired legs, a short rotation, a lack of trust because you're trying to integrate some new pieces on the fly, not having any choice but to play Kenneth Faried 26 minutes, James Ennis 27 minutes based on the roster crunch at the moment. And effectively, all you're trying to do is survive in advance until you get, hopefully, Chris Paul starting this weekend and then Clint Capella on the other side of the All-Star break so that you can finally make another run like the one where we saw the Rockets win so many games earlier this month, punctuated by that big win at Golden State on January the 3rd. The Rockets are at nowhere near that form now. They have a lot of issues to clean up, but the last thing I'll leave you with tonight, it's a lot easier to fix those issues if you win. That's the one positive out of this, because the Rockets, they take these issues very seriously. They're not going to like what they see on the defensive end of the floor when they look at the film. They're going to hate what happened at the end of the game, especially PJ Tucker. They're going to take responsibility, but if you had lost this game, it becomes easy to finger point. It becomes easy to spiral, to wonder what's going on. If you're able to win the game and yet still have these issues to work on, it makes it all the easier to actually resolve them successfully. Because if you can get a win in spite of your supporting cast playing this poorly, just imagine what happens when you get deeper, when you get Chris Paul and Clint Capella back, and hopefully you get these role players less overextended, or in the case of Kenneth Faried and James Ennis, more comfortable in their roles. Just imagine what you might have at that point. That's the positive I'll leave you with as we close out this Wednesday evening recap of Houston's 114-110 win at Madison Square Garden in downtown Manhattan. So until our next episode, this is where I will leave you. As always, I appreciate y'all so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Show is on there at Locked On Rockets. And also don't forget our Locked On NBA Net handle, which is the curated feed for our Locked On Podcast Network experts across the NBA, offering you takes on their teams or about the Rockets if you're interested in seeing what they say about the Rockets when their team is playing Houston. Next up on the Rockets agenda is the Toronto Raptors on Friday night at Toyota Center. So until that game, this is where I will leave you all. As always, thank you so much for listening. And one final time, the happy final from Madison Square Garden. Rockets 114, Knicks 110, James Harden a career high, a new Rockets franchise high, 61 points, also ties the all-time record by a visitor at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. With that, enjoy the rest of your evening and come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.